Good morning, my name is Alan and I am part of the staff team here at STC, and it is my pleasure to be sharing a short message with you from the Bible. So welcome to church and welcome to my kitchen. Now I was going to record this from our shed, but the spiders were making far, far too much noise. Today would be graduation day for this year's trainees, and as I'm recording this, we should be away on our final closing retreat. And it has been a great year with Jacob, Joshua, Becky, Elle and Sean. Finishing the year with a weekly Zoom call hasn't quite been the same. So we wish them well in the next chapter of their adventure with God. And today's reading is from Matthew 6, 25 to 34. And I'm going to read that from the Passion Translation. So let's read that together now. This is why I tell you to never be worried about your life, for all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing? Look at all the birds. Do you think that they worry about their existence? They don't plant or reap or store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they? So which one of you, by worrying, could add anything to your life? And why would you worry about your clothing? Look at the beautiful flowers of the field. They don't work or toil. And yet not even Solomon in all his splendor was robed in beauty more than one of these. So if God has clothed the meadow with hay, which is here for such a short time and then dried up and burned, won't he provide for you the clothes you need, even though you live with such little faith? So then, forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things your bodies require? So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Now, this is a really familiar passage. This is Jesus's helpful advice to not worry. And the title for this morning's talk is Don't Worry, Be Happy. One of those really helpful pieces of advice that sound great, but in practice. In me, it sets off a cycle of worry, and rather than just worrying about what I am worried about, I now worry about the fact that I'm worried. So it's double trouble. So before I go any further, I would like to tell you the tale of two holidays. Now, holidays for the Ward family are very, very important, and the Ward family loves a European adventure. The first holiday is from the second ever holiday Helen and I had after we were married, before kids, just the two of us. We planned a road trip down through Germany, Switzerland, south of France, and our final destination was to be northern Spain. And when I say planned, we had a route. We had a number of friends to stay with en route, and in between we had locations picked out, but no hotels booked. Now, what could possibly go wrong? And those of us who know Helen and I will know that this is out of character for Helen. She loves a plan. So let's be honest, right from the start, what follows is solely my responsibility. Helen's only crime was to succumb to my spirit of foolhardiness. We'd stayed with friends in Germany. We'd even been in the path of the total solar eclipse. We'd stayed with more friends in the Black Forest, so far, so good. And then we left, destination Annecy, and between the Black Forest and Annecy lay Switzerland, all of it. And we were taking the scenic route, and it was stunning. But 13 hours later, and only one 30-minute lunch stop, and this before Helen learned to drive, we arrived in Annecy, exhausted, ready for some food and a bed. So we knocked on the first hotel door, went up to reception. There was no room at all in the hotel. The second hotel, there was no room, fully booked. And we asked if there were any recommendations where we might be able to find somewhere to stay. And the answer that we got was no, it's Assumption Day. It's a public holiday. Everything will be booked and busy. So we went to the third hotel, and you guessed it, there was no room. Do you have a stable? No, we didn't ask. We gave up and we drove out of town. And as we were leaving, feeling pretty rubbish, really tired, we happened upon a trucker's rest stop on the way out of town. And we dragged ourselves out of the car and we went into the bar. And we asked the barman in desperation, do you have a room? And his response, no, that's all the French you're getting today. And our faces fell. We turned and we made our way, dejected, back out towards the car. We must have looked pitiful. And before we got to the door, we were called back. Maybe, sir, madam, there is something. And then the barman, he led us up a seemingly endless series of staircases and finally along a narrow corridor at the very top of the property. And the door opened onto a mess of a room. The ashtray was full, the bed was unmade and obviously had been slept in. The lino underfoot was sticky. It was foul. Helen and I looked at each other. We'll take it. And maybe before we set off on that European adventure, we should have worried a little bit more about where we might stay before we set off. Jesus, what's with this one day at a time approach? Surely it doesn't work when we're planning a holiday. So holiday two, the one with the plan. Holiday two was a lot more recent, and we were staying in Austria, a self-catering apartment next to the owner's farm. We had planned a driving route through Europe with overnight stays, all booked, a week in Austria and then a series of overnight stays for the way back up, again with holidays booked. There would be no repeat of Annecy, especially with three kids along for the adventure. So it was Friday at the end of our week in Austria, and we were driving up a narrow valley to a cable car, which we would take up to Weissee, a glacial lake surrounded by snow, even in the height of summer. It was about 10 miles of narrow, twisty road to get up to the car park. And as we neared the top, our car gave a little cough and we lost power. We crawled to the lip of the car park and we just rolled into the parking space. We left the car determined to enjoy the trip, and it was stunning. So we got back to the car, climbed in, I turned the key, and the car roared into life. Praise God. But unfortunately, zero power still. The car had started fine, but it had all the power of a limp lettuce leaf. So I coaxed the car really slowly to the lip of the car park, determined to get the family down to the bottom of the valley. Up and over the lip we crawled, and the freewheeling adventure began. 10 miles of narrow, twisty roads, hairpins and steep drops, with an ever-growing line of cars behind us, and me, Dad, trying really hard to keep up speed and momentum. Now, Helen is the planner. In the seat next to me, there was a mixture of emotions and questions. What about the car? Can it be fixed? Where will we stay? We have to leave tomorrow. What about our accommodation for the trip back up through Europe? Will we have to cancel? Can we reschedule? What about Eurotunnel? And I can only hold about two or three things in my head before they start falling out to make space for more. So this is my list of stresses and worries. But believe me when I say that this is the tiniest tip of a very large planning stress iceberg. I had one focus: get the family, get the car down the mountain. After that, call the breakdown service we had arranged before we'd set off on this adventure and see what the situation was with the car. One thing, one focus. The things that we could do something about. Not all of the other stuff, not all of the what ifs or the maybes, the what about that. Now, my wife is incredible. You know her. You know that she's incredible. And she's far more organized and capable than I am. But in this moment, she was heard to say, "You're pretty good at this," which is high praise indeed. And the point is this. We can read this passage and think that it's all about the basics of life, food and drink and clothing. And Jesus says that we're not to worry about what we will eat, but we still have to go shopping because the fridge isn't going to fill itself, especially with two teenage boys in the house. We're not to worry about what we wear, but we're still going to get dressed in the morning. Well, because that's just better for everyone. It's about this, yes, but it's also about so much more. Verse 25 says, "This is why I tell you to never be worried about your life." Now, life is about your soul. It's about your heart. It's about who you are and what your life is all about. It's what makes you, you. Verse 25 continues, "For all that you need will be provided, everything your body needs." So Jesus is talking here about everything that goes on inside us that makes us who we are, and everything that we need externally, the stuff for our body. And I chose to read the Passion Translation this morning because it brings out a little more depth to what I think Jesus is getting at here. Verse 26, "Look at the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence?" So if the birds aren't worrying about their existence, we're not to worry about our existence either. Jesus isn't just addressing our practical needs, but the big questions of life. Who am I? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? What's my purpose, my calling? What about kids? What about my career? Do I go for a promotion? What about retirement and our pensions? Lockdown has been different for each of us. But for all of us, we are living through a huge change in the way that we've been doing life. For some, we're working from home, a lot of time away from the world, existing within the same four walls. For others, we're working from home and homeschooling, as above, but juggling with the demands of the job and trying to keep our kids on track. Some are on furlough with time and space away from the job. Some are home alone and shielding. Still others are going to work, exposing themselves and their families to the very real threat of coronavirus, confronted with their own mortality day after day. And this is especially true of our non-European NHS staff, among whom death rates have been well above average. For all of us, this is a big moment in each of our lives, a time when many of us have had time and space to consider our existence. And in the silence and in the fear, who am I? Where am I going? What's the point? What do I want for my life, my family? What's important to me, to us? Jesus speaks right to the heart of this angst. His words are words for this season. And he says this, "Forsake your worries." Forsake your worries. I love that. It's not don't worry, it's forsake them. Give them up. Sacrifice our worries on the altar of faith. Choose to trust Jesus with the things we cannot control. Refuse to give them airtime, space in our heads. Forsake your worries. And I love it because it's a proactive thing, something that we can do rather than being tossed about at the mercy of our worries and our anxieties. It's proactive. So remember the tale of our two holidays? It's good to plan. God has no issue with strategy and direction. He loves it when we have something to aim for. But we don't know what is around the corner. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. Jesus said, "Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself." Who we are, who we are becoming, our purpose, our future selves are determined step by step, decision by decision, moment by moment. There are so many moving pieces in our lives that trying to control everything will lead us to distraction attempting to manage every factor, every eventuality is impossible. And that's God's job. And he's pretty good at it. Jesus says that we get to manage something much, much more manageable today. Seek his kingdom. Choose to do things God's way. No compromise. Don't get drawn into the worries of this world and his righteousness. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Treat everyone right. Treat everyone with the same honor and respect, with dignity and care, as you would Jesus himself. After all, everyone we meet bears his image, whether we recognize it or not. So today, refuse to worry about tomorrow. So today, choose God's way. Choose honesty and integrity. Choose justice. Choose mercy. Choose to love everyone, even those who hate us. Choose to bless every single person without exception, even those who would persecute us. Choose to serve, to put others' needs before our own. Choose forgiveness. Choose reconciliation. Choose to put our trust in God's ability to shape and craft our future. Choose self-sacrifice. Choose to deny ourselves. Choose the way of the cross, always. Choose generosity. Give, don't take. Tread lightly on this earth. Choose humility. Choose gentleness. Choose the kingdom of God. Let every prayer of ours end with the words, "Not my will, but your will be done." We made it back from Austria, obviously. I'm sat in my kitchen. The car was an easy fix. We just had to wait over another holiday weekend and then wait for parts. Our hosts from the neighbouring farm phoned around, found a hotel, made reservation for us. They even drove us and our luggage to the hotel and dropped us off. And we had 3 nights half board in a 4-star hotel paid for by our breakdown cover. We saw the sun and the tops of the mountains, which we hadn't seen all week because it had been wet and cold and foul. And we did miss some overnight stays on the way back up through our journey through Europe. We had a big drive to catch up on our previous plans, but everything worked out well. The only way to climb a mountain is one step at a time. The only way to complete a marathon is one step at a time. The only way to live life is one day at a time. So let's squeeze from today everything God has for us and not miss a moment. God has big plans for each of us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us. So let's do today what we can only do today. Let's love those around us and be present in this moment. And let's trust God with tomorrow and let him do what only he can do. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can trust you with tomorrow and the next day. Help us to forsake our worries and replace them with simple trust. Give us focus for today on the things that matter. Show us where we need to direct our energy and attention, and let us live this life one day at a time, all for Jesus. Your will be done, Father. Amen. Amen.